Well, Father, we just come to you right now and we thank you for this day. We know that today is a day that you've created and we're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad in it. There's going to be joy in the house today as your word goes forth. And your word is what changes hearts, Lord. Your word, you said, and it heals. You said you sent your word and it healed them. They were healed by your word. So, Father, we send your word out ahead of even this message, this day, into time, Lord, into space, if you will, into your creation. Your creation. You are the creator of all things. This universe, as vast and as expansive as it is, you created it. And you created us individually. In fact, you knew us from the foundation of the earth. You know every hair on our head. You know our thoughts. You know what we're going to do. You know where we've been. And you know where we'll be. Father, nothing is hidden from you. Nothing is hidden from you. You are all knowing, all seeing. So we just open our hearts right now. And it's for our benefit. It's not for yours. You know our heart, Lord. We have to open our heart sometimes for our benefit. So I would just say to you right now, right where you are, just cry out to God and just share your heart with him. Just share your heart. Share the things that you're... He cares about what you're going through. He cares about what you're dealing with in your life. He cares about where you are right now. He cares for you. He loves you. In fact, he loves you so much he sent his son to die for you. So, Father, let us remember that. Remember your son Jesus and all that he did for us so that we could live here on this earth right now abundantly, having everything that we have need of. But you know, he doesn't, you don't respond to need, you respond to faith. You know our needs, but you respond to faith. So today, let faith be sown in our hearts. Let it grow, take root, be established in our hearts so that it will come and grow in righteousness. And as we, as a people, understand, as you give us wisdom and revelation and understand who we are in Christ, the authority that we have, the power that we have in Christ, we can take that out into the world. Sow it into the field, the harvest field, and reap that harvest as souls back into your kingdom. So we thank you for this day, and today is a very important day. Today was a day that you saw from the foundation of the earth, a day that hearts are turned back towards you, a day where lives are changed. A day where souls are gathered into your kingdom. A day where we are awakened and the church arises and takes its rightful place here in this earth, now in this earth. Yes, we are seated at your right hand in Christ Jesus if we are born again and know you. But we have a rightful place in this earth and a calling and a responsibility, a duty. So we thank you for that. And we don't take it lightly. And we say we love you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory. Well, someone say, I am the church.
I am the church.
I am the church. You are the church. Not these four walls, not these fans spinning, not these lights. Not this carpet, not this stage. You are the church. It's the mystery. It's the mystery that's been revealed. The church of the living God. And he'd sent his Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of you. And with that Holy Spirit, there comes quite a bit. And power is one of those things that has come to dwell on the inside of you. Reggie ministered last week and brought, I believe, a prophetic word, a wonderful word, a challenging word. And does anybody remember the phrase that he used? Well, this is what penetrated my heart. To be a lion of the last day. We are called to be lions of the last day. Lions of the... And you know, I love word pictures. Does anybody like word pictures?
Yes.
Does anybody learn by seeing pictures? You know, I mean, in school, you can remember word pictures, that picture of that lion. When you see that a picture of a lion, what does that bring up to your mind or your thinking? Just shout it out. Power.
Strength.
Huh?
Dominion.
What else?
Brave.
Say it loud. I can't hear you.
Hungry.
Well, that's good because we're going to get to a point in that a little bit, but hungry. Hey, there is some dainties out back if you're hungry right now. You can get them dainties. Yes, all those things. Well, I looked up a couple of things, and let me just share a few of these things. Again, you got that word, being a lion in the last day. What do you picture that as being in your mind? And we're hopefully going to see some things, and it'll drop down into our heart, and we'll have revelation of what that is. Number one, lions are symbols of strength and courage, and have been celebrated throughout history for these characteristics. They are also common symbols for royalty and stateliness. Hence the phrase, King of the Jungle. We all know that, right? You know, my high school mascot was a monarch, was a lion. We all had these big lions on our jerseys and on our jackets. And so I was King of the Jungle even in high school. Huh? As opposed to them demons down the road. I don't know about all that. I mean, you know. Help me, Lord. Big Blue. That's what we're... Big Blue. We'll refer to it as Big Blue. They're symbols of strength and courage. And how do we compare that with us? You know, we need strength and courage for the days ahead. We, as born-again believers, as the church, need strength and courage for the days that we are in. Amen? And you are. You know this. Scripture says you are a royal priesthood. You are kings and queens. You have royal blood running through your veins. If you're born again, if you've received Jesus as your Lord, you have royal blood flowing through your veins. You know, with royalty there comes... benefits, if you will. And you have the blood of Jesus flowing through you. And there are benefits that come with that association. Amen? With that lineage, if you will. Yeah? A lion, it's a symbol of stateliness. Well, to me, when I see that picture, a lion, a symbol of stateliness, is how are we to conduct ourselves? You know, that brings that question to my mind. How are we to conduct ourselves? How does someone that is stately, royal, conduct themselves? You know, think about that. How are we to conduct ourselves? And we, you know, a question was brought up to me. You know, it's been talked about. Christian Growth Center is where prayer is a priority. We're a house of prayer. And how do we walk that out? How do we walk out that prayer being a priority? And I think that goes right along with that question is, you know, how do we conduct ourselves? Just think about that. How do we conduct ourselves and how do we walk out that prayer in our life? And number two, this other fact that I found, lions are the only big cats to live in groups. Mm-hmm. The only big cats to live in groups. They're called prides. And prides are close family groups. They work together to defend their territory and to hunt. So how's that compare to us? You know, if we're lions for the last day. Well, we're a family, aren't we? Aren't we part of the family of God here, Christian Growth Center? We are a family united together in the bond of peace and the love of God as and Jesus as our Lord. Well, we're to defend defend our family, our territory. And what are we calling our territory? Remember, we've called New River Valley, right? We are believing. We are asking for the nations, and part of that is New River Valley, the souls of New River Valley. That is our territory. We are defending that territory. You know, something else interesting about lions, their roar can be heard for up to 5 miles. 5 miles. Our roar. The sound of Christian Growth Center should be heard for at least a 5 mile radius around us. People should know who Christian Growth Center is. People should know. In our community, they should know. Well, how are they going to know? How are they going to know? Someone say it. Roar. Who's going to do the roaring? We. That's right. Us. Not me. I'm only one voice. Pastor Rob, me and him together, only two. We've got 80 maybe some people in here. What if we all just roared? And, I'm not saying we all stand up and roar, okay? I'm not going to make you roar like a lion. I'm talking in the realm of the Spirit. What if we all got up and roared about our community, defended our community? What does that mean, defend our community? Well, there are attacks going on every day out there in our community. Attacks on the mind of people, on their spirit, on their body. And we are to stand up and roar against those attacks. We are to stand up and defend our brothers and sisters against those attacks. We are to be lions for the last day. Lions for the last day. Part of our territory is our family. Our home. We were talking this morning in class about, we talk on prayer every class, but we were talking about, last time I spoke, we talked about an awakening and revivals and we were talking about how that first great awakening in this nation back in 1734 occurred. And it started with two people praying. Two people praying. And Kelvin made the comment, it starts at home. You want revival in this land? Start at home. And let that household revival spread to the church, which is us, gathered together, the corporate church, Christian Growth Center. And you want revival to spread to the New River Valley from there? But they got to hear your roar.
That's right.
For them to hear your roar, you have to understand you are a lion. And what does that mean? You got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You got to know who you are in the Alpha Lion. The Alpha Lion. Third thing that I found out, and you guys will really appreciate this. The females in the pride do the majority of the work. As the males just laze around and do nothing. Look pretty with their big manes, you know. In fact, they spend about 16 to 20 hours just lazing around. Lazing around. No, that is true. But that's not true of us. Certainly not in my house. Right, babe? Oh, be careful. Okay. She says, you probably get 10, 12 out of that 16, 20 hours. But so, lions in the last day. To be lions of the last days, we have to understand who we are. We have to understand the Alpha Lion and in whom our power resides. The power is not in us, in and of ourself. And that should be liberating to some of us, to think that we don't have to do it on our own, in and of ourselves. There's one greater that lives inside of us that we can cast that responsibility over on. Amen? Turn to Genesis chapter 49. talking about lions of the last days, understanding who the chief lion or alpha lion is and where he came from. Just a little background. Genesis chapter 49. And I'll read out of the Amplified. Says this in verse 1. It says, "And Jacob called for his sons and said, 'Gather yourselves together around me, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the latter or last days.'" The what? Last days. Being lions in the last days. "Gather around me so I may tell you what shall befall you in the latter or last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and hearken to Israel your father." Now we know Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob became Israel. He had 12 sons. That's the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. And so he's speaking to him. He has gathered his 12 around him. And let me jump down to verse 8. He's talking to each son, each of the 12, and telling them something. And in verse 8, we hear what happened. We hear about Judah, and it says this out of verse 8. It says, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee." Judah is a lion's whelp. I'm reading out of King James, sorry. Judah is a lion's whelp. Let me come back to 8 and read out of the Amplified. I apologize. I got this parallel Bible, and it's got two columns, and I just jump back and forth sometimes. Verse 8 out of Amplified. "Judah, you are the one whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down to you. Judah, a lion's cub. With the prey, my son, you have gone high up the mountain. He stooped down, he crouched like a lion and like a lioness. Who dares provoke and rouse him? The scepter or leadership shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh, that is the Messiah, the peaceful one, comes to whom it belongs, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he washes his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker and more sparkling than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk." That is a description of what will happen in the last days to Judah. And we know that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? And all will bow down to him. All will bow down to him. Now turn over to Revelation chapter 5. We'll go from one end of the book to the other. And y'all got everything in between, don't you? Revelation chapter 5. Y'all are going to have to bear with me. I feel I just need to basically read this entire chapter. And I want to read it out of the Amplified. So just, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what you are saying to us through your word today. Revelation chapter 5 verse 1 says, "And I saw lying on the open hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, closed and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel announcing in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll? And who is entitled and deserves and is morally fit to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth in the realm of the dead," that's Hades, "was able to open the scroll or to take a single look at its contents. And I wept audibly and bitterly because no one was found fit to open the scroll or to inspect it. Then one of the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin said to me, 'Stop weeping. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root or source of David, has won. He has overcome and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals.' And there between the throne and the four living creatures, those beings, and among the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, who have been sent on duty far and wide into all the earth. He then went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin prostrated themselves before the Lamb. Each was holding a harp, a lute, or guitar, and they had golden bowls full of incense, that's fragrant spices, and gums for burning, which are the prayers of God's people, the saints. The prayers of God's people, the saints. And now they sing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it. For you were slain, sacrificed, and with your blood you purchased men unto God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom, a royal race, and priests to our God. And they shall reign as kings over the earth." Where? Over the earth. "Then I looked and I heard the voices of many angels on every side of the throne and on the living and of the living creatures and the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, and they numbered 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, 'Deserving is the Lamb who was sacrificed to receive all the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and majesty and blessing.' And I heard every created thing in heaven and on earth and under the earth in Hades, the place of departed spirits, and on the sea and all that is in it, crying out together, 'To him who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb be ascribed the blessing and the honor and the majesty and the power forever and ever through the eternities of eternities.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen, so be it.' And the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin prostrated themselves and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." That who is who the Lion of the tribe of Judah is. That is whom you are. That is whom where your power resides. That is a picture of a lion for the last days. Lion of the tribe of Judah. And why? Why are we talking about an awakening? Why do we talk about revivals? Why are we saying we need to arise? You know, there's a lot going on in this earth today. There's a lot that the church has stood by and watched happen. There's a lot that we have not participated in. There's a lot that we have not stood up against that's going on in this earth. And we need to be a strong church. We have to be a strong church, a bold church. All those words that you said about a lion that came to your mind, strength, boldness, brave, powerful, hungry. We need to be hungry for souls. We need to be hungry for souls. We need to be so hungry for souls that, you know, if you're hungry, I mean, if you're, I'm talking about starving on the brink of death, you will do things that you normally would not do to eat. How hungry are you for souls? What will you do that you normally wouldn't have the courage to do to win souls? How hungry are you? How hungry? We have to be a strong church that Jesus envisioned us to be and really is waiting for, right? We shared that scripture where it says heaven must receive him and retain him until complete restoration. Restoration. That's what we've been talking about for, gosh, Over a year. Restoration. 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 Restoration from what, you ask? Thank you. I'm glad you did. Turn to 2 Timothy. What do we need to be restored from? Well, we know who we need to be restored to. But I'm thinking, what do we need to be restored from? And we're talking about the last days, being lions of the last days. Why do we need to be lions in the last days? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, out of the Amplified. I will read out of the Amplified this time. But understand this, that in the last days, when? Last days will come, will set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Are we in the last days?
Yes.
All right. Are you identifying with this?
Yes.
Verse 2, for people will be lovers of self, and utterly self-centered. Lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate or greedy desire for wealth. Proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, that is blasphemous and scoffing. Disobedient to parents. Thank God that don't happen in my house.
Amen.
Ungrateful, unholy and profane. They will be without natural human affection. Callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. Vain amusements more than lovers of God. Where is our time? Where is our attention? What is amusing us today? Where do we give our attention to? What are we heaping upon ourselves to amuse us? Vain amusements. More than and rather than lovers of God. Verse 5. For though they hold... Now you're thinking this ain't the church. This ain't us. This ain't the body of Christ. For although they hold a form of piety, that is true religion, they deny and reject, and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them. I mean, that's quite a picture, isn't it? That's quite a picture of the last days. That's quite a picture of the day that we are living in now. Why do we need to be lions? To restore this lost and dying world. To stand up to the enemy of our souls. To stand up to the enemy that wants nothing else than for others to deny that there is a God. And not only deny that there... I mean, I don't even think he cares if you acknowledge there is a God, but not operating in the power of. Not operating. I mean, even it says the demons know there's a God. They acknowledge that there's a God. There's more to just acknowledging that there is a God. It's living your life according to the Word. Living your life in victory. Turn to 2 Peter Let's read a little bit more about the last days. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1 says this: Beloved, I am now writing you this second letter. In both of them I have stirred up your unsullied, that is, sincere mind by way of remembrance, that you should recall the predictions of the holy, the consecrated, dedicated prophets, and the commandment of the Lord and Savior, given through your apostles, his special messengers. To begin with, you must know and understand this, that scoffers, mockers will come in the last days. When? With scoffing. People who walk after their own fleshly desires. And say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the forefathers fell asleep, all things have continued exactly as they did from the beginning of creation. That is their M.O., if you will. Anybody see that that movie that's out, Genesis, Paradise Lost? Nobody saw it. It wasn't well publicized. They only showed it one night at Regal. And I don't know where I heard about it, because they didn't even have it on their on their billboard or anything, and it wasn't even on the website. I use Flickster to see what movies are out there. It wasn't even on there. Genesis, Lost Paradise. And basically, the movie, they tell you, they created this movie. Anybody heard of Answers in Genesis, that ministry? Ken Ham? Does that ring a bell? Has anybody seen that big old ark they're building in Kentucky?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. That's Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis. That's his ministry. That's, you know, his life mission is to help, I don't want to say prove creation, is to help people understand that it was creation, not evolution. Okay, that's his ministry. And they built a life-size ark out in Kentucky. I want to go. I'm going to see that big ark. Maybe for my birthday. That'd be a good birthday present. All right, March 18th, my birthday. Anybody that wants to come to go see the Great Ark in Kentucky, write that date down. We're going to try to get a group together and go see the Ark, Noah's Ark, that is, if I'm not the Ark, not the Ark of the Covenant, but Noah's Ark, life-size Noah's Ark in Kentucky. It's not that far away. It's right down the road. So this Genesis movie, you know, it's come together, and it's basically, they got these, you know, y'all probably, I like the science behind things and the why and the what. And so they gathered all these, you know, scientific experts and brought them in, and they were explaining why it's creation and not evolution, and how, you know, nothing can be evolved from. Anyways, they presented all the science. It was really cool. If it comes out on DVD, I highly recommend you get it. It's just another weapon in your arsenal. Amen? Another weapon. Because you need to know. You know, this is what we're talking about, standing up for what we believe. You know, knowledge. Understanding. You know, how, can you explain to someone why you believe in creation versus evolution? I mean, we need to be able to do that. Anyways, so this movie just gives you some of that ammunition. And, you know, not one, you know, and I'm not getting into the movie. Go see it or get it if you can. But that's what they are. They're scoffers. Oh, you've been talking about this God of yours, and you've been saying he's coming and he's going to get. They've been talking about that ever since we can remember, and it hasn't happened. It's never going to happen. You were created from muck, you know, and a big lightning storm came, and, you know, and then now, whoo, we got a human. Come on. What is it? God reveals himself by his very creation. Look at how complex everything is. Even the creatures of this earth, and even the nature itself, our own bodies, our own bodies. Have y'all ever heard of laminin? Have I told you about this before? Huh? Somebody said this week? There is a great video, and I have a copy of it, and I think have we shown it here? I'm going to bring it, and we're going to watch this. It's basically a proof of Jesus inside of you, down to the molecular level. Down to the, it's so neat, so cool. Anyways, these are just cool things, and you know, Jesus is everywhere. I mean, they wrote about him, even Old Covenant, Old Testament speaks of Jesus all the way through that. So anyway, scoffers, that's what these revisionists that have come and trying to tell our children through school, through education, about evolution. And you know, if there's no creator, if we just pop, there you are, there's no accountability, there's no moral values tied to it. You can just do whatever you want, and it doesn't matter, because you were just, you know, evolved from this glob. It doesn't work, people. It doesn't work. There is a creator, and he gave us morals to live by and to guide our life by. And that's why we have all right. Get off my soapbox. Let me share James 5 with you as I start to wrap this up. Hallelujah. James 5, let me just start in verse 1. Come now, you rich people, weep aloud and lament over the miseries, the woes that are surely coming upon you. Your abundant wealth has rotted and is ruined, and your many garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are completely rusted through, and their rust will be testimony against you, and it will devour your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped together treasure for the last days. But look, here are the wages that you have withheld by fraud from the laborers who have reaped your fields, crying out for vengeance, and the cries of the harvesters have come to the ears of the Lord of hosts. Here on earth you have abandoned yourselves to soft, prodigal living, and to the pleasures of self-indulgence and self-gratification. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and have murdered the righteous, the innocent man, while he offers no resistance to you. So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and late rains. So you also must be patient. Establish your hearts, strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty, for the coming of the Lord is very near. Why do we need to be lions in the last day? Why do we have to have our hearts strengthened? You know, the Word says that in the last days that the men's hearts will fail them for fear. That's why we have to be rooted and grounded and established on the Word of God, knowing who we are in Christ, knowing what power resides inside of us with the Holy Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of us. Yes. Yes. Amen? Yes. And listen, the Bible says that who's the one that gives you power to gain wealth? Yes. God Himself gives you power to gain wealth. But it's when you go out and do it, try to do it in and of yourself, things don't quite go right. So, how does restoration come from all of this? Let's look at Acts 2. I did say I was wrapping up. I've got just a couple more scriptures to share. Acts Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days when God declares that I will pour out of my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels, and your young men shall see visions, divinely granted appearances, and your old men shall dream divinely suggested dreams. Yes, and on my maid servants also, and on my men servants also, and on my maid servants in those days, I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels and predicting future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. And I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoking vapor. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the obvious day of the Lord comes, that great and notable and conspicuous and renowned day. And it shall be that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, invoking, adoring, and worshiping the Lord Christ, shall be saved. Shall be saved. What are we believing for? What are we calling out for restoration of or restoration from? We want to bring restoration to this world, to this earth, and I mean in the sense of souls. We want people restored back to God. That's why we want revival, right? I mean, revival is not just for us to... I mean, it is. Revival comes to us through that. But it's not just for us. Revival and awakenings are for the Gentiles, the heathen, those that don't know Jesus. You know, that I've said it for years now. I can go back in years miracles, signs and wonders, healings, and that is the calling card of the last great harvest, I believe. And we're to be part of that. We are to stand up as lions in that. We're to administer that. Amen? Let me finish with Hebrews. Chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in the last days, great. You guys are still awake and with me. He has spoken to us in the person of a Son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, he produced, he built, he operated, and arranged them in order. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outrain or radiance of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high." That's a picture of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we are his image. We are his creation. We are like him, or to be like him in this earth. We are to walk in victory. Walk in victory. We are to be standing up for what we believe in. Vocalizing. Acting. operating in the power that has been entrusted to us. We are not of those that shrink back, but are as bold as lions, operating in spirit and truth, and knowing in whom the power lies. Power for the days ahead. Amen? I want you to be encouraged that you have power for the days ahead. Part of why we pray at Christian Growth Center, part of how we walk that out is preparing the hearts of you all, us, for the days ahead. Preparing the hearts of the harvest to come into the kingdom of God. Preparing the hearts of the laborers, you all, to go out into the fields. Preparation for the days ahead. We are in the last days. And we need to be lions in the last days. Bold, strong, brave, and hungry for souls. Soul winners. Amen? Y'all receive that today? Are you going to go forth and try to be as bold as lions? I'm serious. Don't let it rest here today in these seats. Take it with you. Take it with you. It's not you. It's the one that lives in you. When the 70 went out, you know, he went out and worked with them, it said. It's not you doing it yourself. It's the one living inside of you, working with you to accomplish great and mighty things in this earth. And you can do it. You can do it. He loves you. God loves you. I love you. And I know that great things are destined for us. I know that great things are destined for us. Amen?
Amen.